Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. Senator Blumenthal, thank you for being here this morning. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we saw that you want to have millions of dollars put towards long-term care facilities. So what are you calling for from the federal government, and how is Connecticut going to directly be impacted by this?
If you'll remember, Melissa, the majority of deaths resulting from COVID-19, probably close to 70%, occurred in our nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Mm-hmm. That is a tragic, horrific outcome. And what's needed now is not only investigation, which the governor has begun, but also more resources for staffing, testing, personal protective equipment, whatever it takes to safeguard the health of our seniors in these nursing facilities. So I propose with Senator Robert Casey of Pennsylvania a measure that would provide $20 billion and also direct better practices and protocols, provide for some reforms, and keep track of what's happening there. So it's more than just the money. It's the kind of direction that would be provided. And I've also urged that there be hazardous duty pay for the frontline workers in these facilities. You know, many of them, in fact, 3,400 have been infected. They have tested positive and they've contracted the disease. 14 have died. They've borne a major burden, these workers who take care of people there. And they're real heroes. They deserve hazardous duty pay just as other frontline workers like doctors, nurses, firefighters, police, postal delivery, grocery clerks, who've all reported for duty during this pandemic. So it's a combination of different measures to increase the quality of care in our nursing homes.
And as you know, Connecticut's been one of the strongest states in mandating wearing a mask in public. And this morning I was looking at a list. 23 states in the U.S. right now have that same mandate in public where you have to wear a mask. And I'm wondering, as we're seeing a number of states that are still with a very high infection rate right now, you're hearing President Trump threaten to cut federal aid for states not planning to open their schools in the fall. My question is it possible, or is it a good idea to put in place a national mask requirement to maybe stop the spread? Because doctors have said time and again that the mask is five times more accurate to keep from spreading the virus than if you're just walking around freely.
That's a really good point, Melissa. Those 23 states that have mandated it have seen better results in terms of stopping the pandemic than the other states where it's now raging out of control, like Florida, Texas, some of the Western states, where they have said, in effect, do whatever you like. Doesn't matter. Anthony Fauci has said we are knee-deep in this pandemic, the first wave. I would amend that statement only by saying I think we're neck-deep in the first wave of this pandemic. The question is, what happens in the second wave when it comes back, possibly to Connecticut? And so I think our health is directly dependent on the practices in other states. We know about infectious diseases and pandemics that have occurred before, whether it's H1N1, SARS, MERS, going back to the great influenza of 1918, 1919. Every precaution helps. Let me repeat, every precaution helps. That's the reason why in Connecticut, where people have been acting so responsibly, we have really turned the corner. And we've had no deaths, I think, the day before yesterday. I don't know about yesterday, but the record really shows our success. So, yes, I think national standards are appropriate. If the states abdicate their responsibility, if individual states like Florida are unwilling to do the right thing, shouldn't the federal government protect the nation as a whole? And many people in Florida may suffer from the irresponsibility of a small proportion of their population that directly defies the responsible public health steps.
Speaking with Senator Richard Blumenthal this morning. And before I let you go, Senator, it's not really in the headlines right now, but my husband and I, we love to check Netflix. And recently, they released this new documentary called Athlete A. It is looking at a deeper look at Larry Nassar, the USA Gymnastics, and how they allowed sexual abuse, essentially, to happen to gymnasts. And I could not help but notice that you were featured during the trial in that case. And they really highlighted your comments, I thought, very well. And I thought, wow, out of anybody, I love that Senator Blumenthal was included in this. My question to you this morning is, do we have any update at this point? We know Nassar is behind bars, probably will be the rest of his life. But any update on protecting our children better, especially with USA Gymnastics? That was a really big deal. Have we made any progress since all of this came to fruition?
We have. U.S. Olympics has been reformed in the sense that there are some new people there, but not reformed enough. That's why Senator Jerry Moran, a Republican of Kansas, and I have proposed legislation, which has been approved by the Commerce Committee. We now are hopeful that it will be passed by the full Senate, and it would mandate higher standards and stronger oversight. Remember what happened there to put Larry Nassar behind bars was repeated lengthy abuse mm-hmm. of young athletes, women, particularly young girls, by Larry Nassar. But he was far from the only one who abused young athletes emotionally right. and physically. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need stronger measures. He's going to be behind bars, but reform still is necessary. And thanks for watching that Netflix. I wish a lot of other people would do so as well.
Yes, I was going to say, if anybody has not seen that yet, please watch Netflix. It's called Athlete A. And I just know as a journalist, you know, you see only what's in the headlines and you read sort of on paper. But when you get to actually hear the testimonies from these gymnasts, including a very recent Olympian, it really is a very moving documentary. And I love that you were included in it. So thank you, Senator. I appreciate your comments on that.
Thank you, Melissa, and have a great week. I'll talk to you next week.
Connecting now with Shelton's Mayor Mark Loretti. Mark, thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking. So I was chatting earlier this week with Chris Caruso, and he is with, of course, the Italian American Society of Greater Bridgeport. And he was on the show earlier this week talking about the Christopher Columbus statue that came down in Bridgeport. And later on that afternoon, he said, you should probably talk to Shelton's mayor because Mr. Loretti is debating bringing it to Shelton. So I'd love to just kind of clear the record. Are you debating bringing the Christopher Columbus statue into Shelton?
Well, I thought about it and would probably entertain the thought of doing that. I think at this point that the Columbus is getting a bad rap. I think there's conflicting stories about Columbus's past, and by the way, there's nobody left available to verify anything. And you know, if you look at some of the historical records associated with Columbus, you'll actually find that he was his commentary was pretty flattering to the minority population back then. He talked about their intelligence and their work ethic, and how good it was. So you know, I don't know. Look, this is a guy that's a great accomplishment under his belt. People think they can erase history. I think we learn from history. We grow from history. And if nothing else, it should serve as a reminder of where we were and where we are today.
Mm. So do you think it was a bad call that places like Bridgeport or Norwalk, they just took them down without even really telling people until the news found out about it?
Well, this has been a trend across the country with mm-hmm. statutes, not just Columbus. You know, I think it's unfortunate that people actually think that they can erase history. I often feel that the country doesn't get enough accolades for the progress that we've made in the social areas. And if people don't think we've made progress, they need to take a look back to see where we were, particularly in the 70s and early 80s, with all the social unrest that pervaded the country.
So how would you have handled the situation if Shelton was dealing with this?
I think I would have tried to create a better public dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be a country of laws. And, you know, sometimes our political people pick and choose which laws that they want to support and which laws that they want to look the other way on. you know, I just, it's not the way that you can have a successful society, I don't believe.
Speaking right now with Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti and getting his take on the Columbus statues that have been coming down, but most recently in Bridgeport, and the debate of if it should now head to Shelton. How do you think Shelton would react if you were to bring this into Shelton right now? Like, is there a lot of support for it?
Well, I think that like anywhere else, there would be some mixed feelings. You know, people have strong feelings on both sides of the equation. But if you look at Columbus in particular, this is a guy that discovered a country that has the ability to change, a country that has the ability to pick and choose how its people are treated. Mm-hmm. And in America, we're doing that. We're recognizing some of the injustices that have happened with minorities, and not just blacks. It's many minorities. It was women for years.
Mm-hmm. There was a recommendation, and I'd love to get your take on it. I was reading it in the Connecticut Post this morning, a man in Stamford who had thought, you know, if we take down these statues, maybe we replace it with somebody else. And the person he had suggested was Ella Grasso, who's the daughter of Italian immigrants, distinguished career culminated when she was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom back in 1984 by President Ronald Reagan. She was elected to the Connecticut House of Representatives in the 50s. She was with the U.S. House of Representatives. So she has an amazing resume to her and has the Italian descent. What do you think of replacing, you know, because we keep hearing kind of the same theme, you know, from you and many others who would like to see the statue stay, which is erasing history. But what if it's a matter of still remembering the Italian-American community, but with somebody different? Because a statue probably doesn't actually mean that Christopher Columbus gets eliminated from our history books. But in the day-to-day passing his statue, you know, do you replace it with somebody else?
You know, I'm not there. I don't think that we make excuses for history. I don't think this is just about Italians. You know, it's about people's accomplishments. And let's face it, who's perfect out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are fallible. I mean, slavery back then was a way of life. You know, let's criticize the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Romans for, you know, they had slaves. Look at the Irish were persecuted. They were slaves. They were subject of slave trade, you know, by the English. This is kind of like a snapshot in time where we're talking about Columbus. But, you know, look at all the Confederate statutes that have come down.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I think you make a great point. Well, Mayor Loretti, thank you so much for weighing in on this conversation. I'd love to have you back on the show to talk about Shelton just in general another time. If you're open to that, I'd love to have you back on the show.
Of course.
All right, great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Checking in now with Luke Frey of the Better Business Bureau. Luke, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, it's no secret the pandemic has meant a lot of people either got a pay cut or they lost their job altogether. And apparently the Better Business Bureau found that more than half of the people who are targeted by employment scams were also unemployed at the time. So as if we don't have enough problems as we're dealing with right now, what are you guys finding? What are these employment scams?
Sure. So employment scams have actually been the riskiest scam for the past 2 years. So in seeing that, BBB really got concerned, especially in a time like this, where so many people are unemployed, so many people are looking for job opportunities. And a lot of the red flags of an employment scam are actually the type of job opportunities offered right now. Since almost all, I would say, employment scams were some sort of work from home opportunity. And now pretty much any job posted online is obviously work from home, since almost everybody is working at home. So again, a lot of confusing factors right now, since a lot of things that we may say is a red flag is now something you actually have to do in order to get a job now through the pandemic. And again, so many people unemployed, we really wanted to let people know how dangerous employment scams are and also a few things to look out for.
So what are maybe some red flags? For example, what does an employment scam look like in comparison to what a legitimate employment offer would be?
Sure. So often in an employment scam, you are applying online to some sort of work from home opportunity. A lot of employment scams deal with reshipping packages out of your home. And what happens is they tell you that you will get paid a decent salary weekly to do menial tasks. So something very easy that pays almost extremely high. Another red flag of an employment scam is being hired as soon as you apply. So not going through any sort of interview process, not, you know, being interviewed by your supervisor or a boss and kind of automatically being hired. And again, in a time like this, there's a lot of well-qualified people out there who are unemployed. So, you know, being automatically hired may not automatically set off red flags if you really desperately need a job. So again, any real job should have some sort of interview process. You shouldn't be hired instantly, even if you do have background in that area, or even if you are a seasoned person and it's a very simple job, there should always be some sort of interview.
So, yeah, I think a lot of those things probably seem like they are obvious, but do these, you know, like these job offers, or like, are they on faulty websites? Are these coming through emails? Like, where are people finding these scams?
Sure. So these job scams can be in almost any job site. We've seen a lot on Indeed, LinkedIn, Facebook, Career Builder. There's no one job site free of job scams. So even if it's a site that you think, oh, well, I'm going to search on jobs here, there can't be any, you know, job scams on this site. I've heard a bunch of people get jobs off of here. That's not the case. Scammers can post jobs virtually anywhere. So you do have to watch out. And yeah, I mean, a lot of these are online job opportunities. However, we're in 2020. I believe probably anybody searching for a job is going online to try to see, you know, job postings and all of that. Another great tip is making sure it's an actual company. So if it's a company you haven't heard of, it seems odd. It doesn't have a site. You can't really find a lot about it, yet it seems like a great opportunity. I would do a little bit more research into it and also ask questions during that interview process. Say, hey, I haven't heard of your company. I tried to do research. I couldn't find out a lot about it. What do you guys do? How long have you been in business? And if it's a scammer, obviously they will create some sort of lies. However, again, if it's any legitimate company, they should have some sort of footprint online you can see.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Talking to Luke Fry of the Better Business Bureau, employment scams, as if they don't think of enough in, kinds of scams out there. Now we're worrying about trying to get a job. And you're right, Luke. You know, we live in a time right now where people are desperately looking for employment opportunities. And this is just the perfect way to get, I would say, almost like the double-edged sword. You can't find employment and you also lose money. In these situations, do you ever get the money back? You know, when you've been scammed by a company, I'm trying to understand, first of all, how they do get money from you. So if you're a company that says, hey, you got the job, you know, are they asking for like your credit card details or something?
So it can be a couple of different things. Upon being hired to any job, you give them a lot of personal information. So if you are, let's say, instantly hired to one of these job opportunities, you're handing over your direct deposit info in order to be paid, and your social security number and address and all of that. So that alone opens you up to identity theft down the road. It may not happen right away. The other problem is a lot of these employment scams turn into fake check scams. So if it is one of these package reshipment opportunities. We've seen people who end up not getting paid emailing their boss saying, hey, I'm not getting paid, why? And then a check comes and it's over the amount you should have been paid. You deposit that and then your boss asks you to wire back over half of that check to them since they overpaid you. What happens is that check ends up not clearing in your account. So you're out those hundreds of dollars you send back to the company for overpaying you. Again, any legitimate company is not going to overpay you and then ask you to wire back hundreds of dollars to them.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, Luke Fry of the Better Business Bureau, if anybody wants to either check your scam tracker or check out your website, where do they go?
Sure. So about employment scams, we have a great page created so you can check out all of the prevention tips, and it's bbb.org/employment scams.
Simple enough. Luke Fry, thank you so much for coming on this morning, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Yeah, thank you.